The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Pre-recorded live from the Magnets in Stockport, yes, the EvoStick NPL show is back for August edition of this future award-winning show.
August?
September. Yes, no, this is August. Even though we're recording it in early September, it is officially August show.
Oh, right. But can we discuss a few games in
September? This is interesting because
this
is exactly the same conversation I had with my missus. And I said, no, that was the preview show. And, of course, the preview show is based on mysticism, guesswork, witchcraft, and alphabetical order, of course.
And sleep deprivation.
But now, now what we've got, six games in, is pure facts.
We've got stats. Oh.
And to discuss whether or not Stamford can win the league, we're joined round the table here in the Magnet by Stuart James from the Non-League Review.
Evening.
By James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group.
Evening.
From Ian Burke, otherwise known as Berkey, from Radio Manchester.
Hello.
From Roy Sewell from New Mills.
Good evening.
By Swampy from Five Live and FCM Radio.
Good evening.
And making his debut from a number of clubs, let's say, it's Nicky Culkin.
Good evening.
How many do we have? How many do we have?
10, I think.
10, something like that.
I think all 92. I think he's played for everybody.
Later on in the show, we'll be hearing from your correspondents on the NPL Facebook group. Let's get right stuck in. Last month on the preview show, Alan Alcock said of the league, obviously in the guise of I'm not here to give my opinion because that's against FA rules now. But
teams, he gave us a few tips though, didn't he?
Teams moving into new stadiums might struggle this year.
One thing about Stamford, we saw them last season against FC United, and they've got tremendous ability up top. They've been scoring goals, decent goals. Have scored 10 in six games, and they've done very well. They've come down with a great big bump against a team that we'll be discussing, and got an absolute thumping last night. Even though that's in next month's show, we can discuss it because it's only 2 days into this month. So that would be remiss of us not talking about the
don't ruin the radio magic.
Okay. Listen, they're strong, they've got pace, they're a good team, they've got a new ground, and Alan did say that it may well be detrimental, but I mean, again, he's a secretary, and what do they know?
I'm going to try and get an interview with Stamper. If I have managed to get an interview with Stamper, you'll hear me say I'm going to try and get an interview with Stamper later on in the show. Burke.
Swampy's saying they've got this, they've got that, they've got the other. They've also got no chance of winning the league. It's a great start. I mean, there's no two ways about it. However, the Ilkeston result just shows that they probably won't have that consistency going throughout the whole season. Early season form suggests that they're going to be up top halfway, somewhere thereabouts. But we've got to give it a bit longer before we can say, really.
How long have you been doing football?
I know I'm talking nonsense, but this is what you pick up when you're on the wireless. You can speak nonsense for extended periods of time.
You get a full season, don't you, to speak it?
Yeah,
that's a great thing.
It's great.
The result that Berkey and Swampy have alluded to happened on Tuesday night, where Stamford were hosting Ilkeston and got a right good thumping. Ilkeston winning 4-0 away from home against Stamford. Ilkeston was under the radar a bit. Well, we mentioned them briefly last month, didn't we?
Well, let's just talk momentarily about Ilkeston, because the one thing that they've gone, last time we were doing this show, the same evening, we discovered that they were possibly going full time. I mean, it wasn't clarified that evening. However, I did say that Ilkeston have always, in the last three or four seasons, been there or thereabouts. They've got some quality players, got a very good manager, and what they've done this season is they've brought in, through their academy system, a full-time programme, and a lot of young lads from Nottingham Forest. They've scored 19 goals. You know, it's got to be a great place to go. On their day, there will be anybody. It's just whether they can keep the consistency, but they've got an international manager there. They've got, you know, the likes of Steve Chettle as well, ex-Nottingham Forest. So they've got a good quality amount of professionalism around the club. And these young kids, all they'll do is get stronger and stronger and stronger throughout the season because they're training every day. And the one thing that can win you games, amongst other things, is fitness. And if you're playing, if you're training every single day, then you've got a great, great chance.
Swampy, I said that last month and you poo-pooed it.
Yes, but it's a month on. I'm considering what you've said.
Hindsight is a wonderful thing. Right, what do you make of full-time academies in general from your years of experience as a manager and a scout?
Initially, my experience came from Morecambe. I actually ran their programme. Jim Harvey was there at the time. And they built a lot of success off, say, the 4 years that he was actually involved in that. Now, obviously, it's down to the players, but also it's down to the opportunity of being able to work with the players on a regular, full-time basis.
Does it work having a full-time set of youngsters mixed in with a few part-time experienced players? Does that work?
It does, because, you know, at the end of the day, when you're full-time and you're in that environment, things become instinctive. The way you open up, the way you receive the ball, the way you pass the ball, the weight of the pass and things like that, the different variations of delivery of a ball. But when you're only part-time, you're getting it drip-fed to you, and you either pick it up if you've got the nous to do it, or you only do it when you remember to do it, rather than it being an instinctive movement or an instinctive action.
Now, Nicky, you've been professional and part-time. Is there a big gulf?
Absolutely, there is, yeah. There is, obviously, with the full-time plays, it's given to you every day, morning and afternoon. So it becomes second nature to you. With the part-time players, obviously, it's not your... It's twice a week, if that. If you've got a Tuesday night game, then obviously you're not getting the training in. So, yeah, the gulf's there. Absolutely huge gulf.
I think Ilkeston have always sort of shown little glimpses of it in short spells.
Yes.
What they've always lacked, and you'll get this with younger players, is that little bit of consistency throughout a longer period of time. But you know, at the end of the day, as the lads get older and the longer they stay within that environment, that'll sort itself out.
Well, the other thing to bear in mind is they did lose three key players that basically couldn't go down the full time route, including his own son, you know, it's testament to them, really. I mean, they're only six games in, but I mean, it's just the goals that they're scoring, you know. I mean, and they're not conceding a huge amount either. I mean, they've conceded seven and scored 19 in six games.
Okay, you had a point.
There's a fatal flaw about this system. It's something that Stalley Bridge found out a few years ago when they adopted it. It's that when you do start playing really well, scouts notice. And they'll go, oh, hang on, why are these playing really well? The full-time team, are they fantastic? We'll come down, we'll nick all your best players off you. And they're there to be sold on. That's the whole point about it.
If they're coming from, they're all coming primarily from Nottingham Forest, so there may well be an agreement in Nottingham Forest. These players will be playing here for the majority of the season. They're going nowhere.
Ah, right.
They're not going to be going to, I mean, I'm surmising here, but they are predominantly from Forest, so therefore they might have said, right, we'll keep this group of players together, we'll bring the experience that we have in the semi-professional sort of last way, and we'll make sure that basically, if they go anywhere, they go back to Nottingham Forest, because, you know, they don't want people coming in poaching Ilkeston players that happen to be with Nottingham Forest. So I understand your point, but on this occasion, you're wrong.
I mean, Ilkeston have started with three wins, two draws, and one loss at time of recording. There's two teams higher up with a better record. It's a shame Aaron's not here, actually, tonight, because it would be interesting to hear his thoughts. But Curzon have got off to an excellent start.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people didn't predict it as well, considering the gap between the Premier and the First Division this year as well. But I think they've shown this, what, the same as Selmazel has shown last year, showing that integrity in developing the squad. I know the majority of the players they've brought in from higher clubs, I think one or two from Stockport, I can't remember the names off the top of my head, developed well into this division, especially with Stockport's situation last year, getting ready to potentially drop down into this division again. I think that's fair to say. But
I'm going to come to you about Skelm, Stu, as well, because James just touched on Skelmersdale United, the start they made last year. They flew out the blocks. Do you reckon they've learnt a bit of lessons from last season?
Well, they've done alright again, haven't they, this season? They're up there again. It's not whether they can, well, whether the start they have is whether they can keep it up, because towards the end of last season they tailed off. So the start is all well and good.
They've got to have learnt the lesson, though, surely, from last year.
What's the lesson of the learning? I mean,
not to tail off.
Well,
not
well. They tailed off the last month of the season. Tommy Lawson is a tremendous manager. They play some good football at Skelmersdale. I expect them to be up there all through the season. It's no surprise to me that they're up there, because the style of football that they play is a hard place to go to, and get a result. And again, you know that what they've done this season from the very beginning, they've conceded only two goals, and one came only a couple of days ago, I think. So the defence is tight. You know, we played against them, we saw how the quality that they possess, and I think really it's no surprise that Skelmersdale there. Curzon, I think It's the high of going up from last season. They had a good team, and they were a very good team last season. And the high of the Monday night, though, the game they played in the draw, it was dire. It was a poor game of football. I don't expect Curzon to be up there all through the season. I expect them to drop down a little bit, but a great start for Aaron and for John.
That game was against Workington on Monday night.
I expected Curzon to do okay this season, top half comfortably, but they've had one very, very important addition to the side on the eve of the season as well, Alex Brown from Hyde, who he shouldn't be playing in that division. He's not a step three player. He could play football league. He's a beautiful box to box player. He's got a great beard. He's got a great touch. He's just
What is this show?
I love Alex Brown to the ends of the earth. He's fantastic.
Does he live in Cheltenham?
No, he's from Knutsford or Wilmslow or somewhere like that. But he works in Levengeam, so
There you go. I think Ben, you came with a really great stat, didn't you, about Hyde players and
they always end up at FC United somehow. It's like Tameside's produced more quality footballers than Bobby Charlton's soccer school.
That was looking for that. It's very true to say, because we've got another one, haven't we, now?
We've got
Mr. Ashworth.
Absolutely. While we're talking about FC, Nicky, FC United, for a moment, bit shaker, four draws to begin with, no. We had it all under control.
Completely disagree with that.
All under control?
Absolutely, yeah. A few new players come in, especially we had a couple of centre-half problems with Sean Conn getting injured early on, and a couple of new centre-halves came in. Just settling in. What we found, I think, from the start of the season is a lot of teams giving us a lot of respect, and we went to Barwell on the first game of the season. They basically just parked a bus for 90 minutes. I've never seen tactics like it in my life.
Obviously, I haven't seen Russell.
and I think that's testament to FC United and Margie, that a lot of teams are giving FC United a lot of respect this season. I think they are, especially when we're going away, they are playing quite a defensive, tactical game. Good start. Good steady
start.
One in 25 now. And I think last night game against Blyth, which again is one of the hardest places to go to, they've got great players for me, like in Maguire, in Robinson. You've got Weymouth on the right hand side. You've got a guy in the middle of the park called Nook. He was absolutely outstanding. What a footballer. But they just didn't put him on the ball enough. And FC United last night,
They were up last night, weren't they? Just every last ball was just...
They just didn't deliver in the right moments, but they're a good team, Blyth, and FC going there again to get a result against a team that other teams will struggle against, again, is testament to the way we approached last night's game, which is very, very encouraging, really.
It was. Last night's game, I don't know if... Well, obviously, you were there. Last night's game was very, very disciplined performance from FC United. Very... The tactics from Margie, absolutely spot on. And the lads played it to an absolute T. Very disciplined, professional performance.
It was a radio first last night. Swampy got the team sheet and said, I think that was the right team to pick.
First time in 10 seasons, I've said it.
We could have won 2 or 3. I think we missed one, right? Who was it? Knowles.
We hit the post of the crossbar and Knowles cleared one off the line.
But they had their chance as well. They would have one of the better teams I've seen us play this season, and I think they'll do well this year.
Yeah, they will, definitely.
Again, it's a shame Aaron's not here, because Aaron suggested this team, who are in sixth place, might do well based upon how many goals they were scoring last season. And it's Stourbridge or Stourbridge?
Stourbridge.
And
they smashed Curzon in the FA Cup last season, didn't they?
Yes.
They just carried on where they left off last season, and they're going great guns.
Well, I've spoken to a couple of scouts, and they've said the best team they've seen. They said they have got quality in that team, and they're going to be a real, real problem in this division. I mean, probably Roy knows quite a bit about them, would have thought.
Yeah, a little bit about them. The fact is, like, you know, I think not only them, but the teams that come up into the Premiership always start fairly well. I think that might be over high of actually getting up from the lower division.
Yeah.
I'd say we're 6 games into the season. I've always said 10 games gives you a better picture, and then they start feeling one another out and what have you. And they'll come in waves, as will Stourbridge. They'll show, and then they'll fall off. They'll show, and they'll fall off. How well they do when they show will depend, really, on the strengths and the, you know, and the weaknesses within the squad as a whole. Because at the end of the day, my feelings are, the likes of you talking about Skelmersdale, I think they suffered a little bit from the unavailability of certain players, and that's a problem. Tommy Lawson, the guy does know his football. He knows where to look for players. He knows the ones he wants. He knows what sort of type of football he wants to play, as do Starbridge. And I think, you know, once you have those beliefs and you bring those, you know, the players in that can actually implement that on the field, then I think you'll find that the force will get bigger and stronger.
Just very quickly on back on Skem, let's not forget they just missed out last season, but they also missed out being the actually fairest team in the division, and they actually won the Fair Play Award. So to be able to play football the way they did, in the manner they did, and to be up there, because a lot of teams said you've got to go on this division,
and the Dutson final,
and the Dutson final, yeah, you've got, and so they had in reality a very good season. It died at the end, unfortunately. But they were at Wembley. Tommy Lawson was at Wembley, being presented by Greg Dyke with a trophy. I know it was only a Fair Play trophy, but it just shows that. I mean, the Northern Premier League.
Greg Dyke as well.
4 years out of five, I've won the Fair Play Award. I mean, this division shows the professionalism, the respect that players have for each other, which again is testament to all the other divisions, because, you know, we have won it four times out of five now. So that's a very, very good thing. But certainly from Skem's perspective, Tommy, you're right to say he brings in good players, and they play good football. They really do.
Top end, I'm guessing we can have eighth place there, can't we? It's Witten Albion.
Well, I'm going to have an interview with Andy Simpson about, because he tips Witten to be not a surprise package, but to do better this year. And obviously they have, but then stuff happens, doesn't it, off the pitch?
Exactly. Pritch going. I mean, official club legend, 18-19 years at the club, 700 appearances for the team, 4 years as the manager, and he goes after,
and wore a bobble hat like a flump in a pair of shorts.
I don't know, that's the tribute from the Evo Stick NPL show.
Anyway, like a flump in a pair of shorts on the touchline.
Coming up next is some interviews, and we've got an interview with Ilkeston's Nigel Harrop, and we'll also have an interview with Witten Albion's, well, correspondent Andrew Simpson from the Northwich Guardian.
Before you do,
well,
let's remember it's Ilkeston.
Yes.
We've had this, really? The people of Ilkeston don't say Ilkeston.
Just like it's SC United of Manchester. Just to say.
All right.
So that's the end of this part one of the Evo Stick NPL show, and we'll be right back after these adverts and interviews.
Hey!
Well done, Ben.
Okay, I'm here now with Nigel Harrop, the general manager of Ilkeston Football Club. Nigel, I'm here 5 games into the season. Ilkeston have made a relatively promising start. Has the season started how you guys would have wanted to?
It has, very much so. Probably it's caught people a bit on the hop, how good we've been, but I think we've, you know, acquitted ourselves quite well, actually, with a very, very young team.
Good stuff. What is the target for the club? I mean, obviously, as you say, you've caught people kind of on the hop. I mean, was the target promotion, or have you maybe overachieved a little bit early on, or how do you see it? What was your target before the start of the season?
We didn't really have a target, only that we wanted to perform the best that we possibly could. We knew we'd got a very young team. We've had to go that way. That was always the plan. We've probably gone with it a little bit earlier than planned, and we've got some good young lads coming in, and it's worked out quite well. We haven't got any aspirations apart from the next game. And the next game, and we'll go to Stamford confident that we can probably get 3 points.
Good stuff. Am I right in thinking you've got quite a strong academy set up here at Ilkeston? I mean, how much does that, you mentioned young players, how much does that influence kind of first team affairs?
Oh, well, it influences it quite a lot, because right originally from when the old club went bust and a new club was formed in 2010, all we had was an academy team for the first year until we got back into the leagues, and the idea was always that we would kind of try and produce one or two of our own players. Luckily, and through a lot of hard work by a lot of people here, we've got a 40-strong academy that, you know, kind of encourages really good talent to come here, and we're quite lucky that some of them have moved on quite quickly.
Good stuff. I mean, have you seen players come through the academy and gone on to higher things yet, or are you, or are still players kind of finding the level at this level?
From the first intake, there was Terrell Waite that went to Notts County, got a 2-year contract at Notts County. And we've also recently had Ryan Wilson, who's left here and gone to Gateshead, and he's playing obviously in the conference. There's quite a few players here that are getting looked at by a lot of people, but at the end of the day, we're just bothered about what we do, we try and do it well, and we try and provide them a platform to probably go to better places.
Obviously, this ground is, for a lot of away supporters, one of their kind of the highlights of the away visiting season. How much pride do you have in, obviously, I mean, it's a beautiful setting here at Ilkeston, it really is. How much pride do you take in, obviously, keeping this place as kind of prim and proper as it is, and it's a superb venue, isn't it?
Well, it's a full-time operation. The team are full-time, and obviously, being very, very young, we are able to go full-time, but there's a lot of full-time staff here as well. The management and academy manager are full-time. I'm here myself full-time with the secretary. We've got analysts and all sorts of things, but we are very proud of the setup. It was, you know, developed quite a few years ago, but we go to great lengths to try and keep it good. We like to play football, we like to keep the ball on the ground, and so we look after the pitch.
Good stuff. And obviously, referring back to the start of the season, you've started the season very well. I think only one loss to your name. Is this a team that you see on the pitch so far that can go all the way and push for promotion?
Oh, definitely. We're not saying that outright, but there's no reason why we need to fear anybody in this league. SC United are probably what everybody would see as probably one of the favourites, but we've had some great clashes with them in the last 2 years, so we look forward to the next one.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Nigel. Okay, really appreciate it.
Is your house falling apart? Do you need new tiles for that roof and floor? Are your cupboards hanging off the wall? Is that sink leaking yet again? Well, with over 500 professional adhesives, sealants and building products available, get stuck in with EvoStick.
Right, we're now joined by senior sports writer for the Northwich Guardian, Mr. Andrew Simpson. Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
We obviously had you on for the preview show a couple of weeks ago, where you made outlandish claims about how well Witten are going to do this year. no, I'm only joking. Some breaking news has occurred in the couple of weeks since we last spoke, and yeah. It was your paper, I think, that broke it. Brian Pritchard resigning from Witten Albion.
Yeah,
bit of a shock.
Yeah, this is part of my ongoing plot to secure a regular slot on the podcast. I need to keep coming up with more and more elaborate ways of getting myself on to talk about things that are happening in Northwich. One contact of mine regularly winds me up to say that I've got one of the easiest jobs in non-league because something's always happening in Northwich. And I suppose what's happened with Pritch leaving Witten just adds further fuel to that theory, really. It was a shock to the supporters. It was a shock, I guess, to everybody apart from a very close inner circle.
And he's been the manager there since, I think, is it 2011 he's been there since? But he's been at the club a lot longer than that, hasn't he?
He has. He's been at the club nearly 20 years. He signed in the summer of 1995. It's incredible. They did take this gamble 3-4 years ago of kind of putting the club hero in the position of manager. And they said at the time, well, we all know that eventually a time's going to come when this may well end in tears. But they took a huge, huge risk. He'd never had any managerial experience. He had no coaching badges. Didn't know anybody really in the game in terms of having contacts. And he's gone on and been one of their most successful managers in the past 10 years. So it was a gamble that paid off for them. It's just a shame that it's ended in the way that it has. I think the one thing the club are pleased about, if that's the right word, maybe probably slightly clumsy way of putting it, is he's gone on his terms, which I think was what they wanted, albeit the timing is a real setback for them.
What's next then for Witten?
Next for Witten in the very short term is that their temporary management team, which is led by senior player Anthony Sheehan, they've been in charge for 2 games, which they've drawn 1 at Whitby and then they beat Hells Owen in midweek. They'll be in charge at the weekend when they travel to Barwell, and then I've been working on a piece today actually where the chairman's hoping to make an announcement or make a decision at the start of next week,
right,
as to who's going to replace Pritch.
And the quiet optimism that was there in the season preview, the start that Witten's made in August hasn't been that bad, has it? I mean,
they've shown signs of what people who watched the club in pre-season and people who'd seen it, they've shown signs of what we would expect in the past few weeks. They were very impressive in taking apart Marine, although Marine's position in the table makes that, with each passing week, look a less impressive win. But they played really well against Hales Owen on Tuesday, and Sheehan has kind of carried on that little bit of form they found before Critch left. I think that optimism is still there, but of course, it so much depends now on the choice that the chairman makes for the successor. You're starting to see the players, the tweets and things that they're saying, they really want Sheehan to carry on, and he's kind of the obvious continuity option, but he represents the same risk that Pritch did when Mark Harris made a similar appointment 3 years ago, in that he's no coaching experience, no managerial experience, and he's a complete rookie. So it's a delicate one, and I think you may find the kind of initial optimism or sight setting high being tempered slightly because there is this change so early in the season. Can they still sustain a promotion challenge? I think you might find the noises coming from the club slightly kind of playing that down a little now.
Well, I won't push you for a prediction because I remember what happened last time I did that.
It's very dangerous, yeah.
Exactly. God knows what will happen next time. Anyway, Andrew Simpson from the Northwich Guardian, thanks for joining us on the MPL show.
No problem.
Welcome back to the EvoStick MPL show, recorded live here in the Magnet in Stockport. It's the 3rd of September, so if we've got anything horribly wrong, blame time itself. So it's now time to turn our eyes to the bottom half of the NPL Premier Division. And I'm going to come to you again, Swampy, first off, because there was a team who you said they're going to do well this year. Mark my words. So Marine, second from bottom.
Yeah, we're 6 games in.
Yeah, too early.
In all fairness, I think it is a surprise. I mean, the manager came over from Vauxhall Motors, Carl McCauley, and good quality manager, brought some good players in there, brought in Aaron Burns, who came over. He's gone back, he's on his way back now.
Oh, really?
to Nantwich. I think that's the latest I've heard. Just massively surprised that they're the where they are, because they've got a good quality team. Whether or not it's a manager that hasn't possibly looked at this league and thinks he can do a lot better, and thinking it could be easy for us. But it's proven at the moment it's not the case, because they are pretty much, them and Whitby are propping up the division with four points. But as I still expect them, I really do expect them to get it right.
Just
so and to play FC United on Saturday, and it will be an absolutely tremendous game of football, because it's a derby. But at the same time, it's the kind of game that they'll be looking forward to. Equally, to be honest, FC United winning last night away, but it's a game that we think we've not played well. What a great way to start our season, by playing FC United.
I saw them first game of the season and they were dreadful against Curzon. They should have lost it by 3 or 4. As it happened, they lost 1-0 in the last minute, but they look poor. Andy Fowler's as good as ever. He looks like...
Is this not just settling in?
It could be. Yeah, that's the thing. It is the start of the season. I'm hoping that's the case for Ide as well in the Conference North. But
yeah, but that actually since the start of last year. That.
Yeah, well, yeah, there is that as well.
The rock setting when they started turning everything blue at that ground. But anyway,
We mentioned Whitby on the last show. We interviewed the Whitby Town Radio lads. They said they're in for a slow burner of a start.
I'd slightly go along with what Swampy said. I think Marine have got better times to come. I think what you possibly got there is a repeat of Witten last year, where Witten was struggling down in the bottom four for quite a long period of the time, and then towards the end of the season found a little bit of form, a little bit of confidence from that form, and then they started picking up and ended up comfortably.
But are Marine going to be disappointed with a season like that? There, aren't they?
Possibly. Off tradition, yeah, but the fans are quite loyal there, aren't they? And they stick by them and drag them through the hard times.
Well, they're a fans owned club, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they are a great community football club, and I expect them certainly to climb the division, because there's plenty more teams that are above them that I personally think they are better than.
And it's run by, to be honest, people that don't panic.
Yeah.
They don't panic, Mr. Bennery. They don't sling one manager in to bring another manager in and then change their mind again and wish they hadn't got rid of the first one. They're quite steady.
We mentioned earlier about Barwell, and you said, Nicky, that the tactics used were something that you've never seen before in the 15 clubs you've played for.
Not 15.
I know.
Well, you've got
it's
about
eight good clubs as well.
Go on. So Barwell, we were struck on the radio that actually when they play, they're quite good going forward, but they just weren't showing it at all, were they?
And they never got out of their own half. Honestly, it was two double-decker buses, the lot.
Do you remember that moment, though, where they strung about five passes together and just hit one post and then the other?
It comes down to a little bit of what Nick said before. When teams go out against FC United, they possibly show them a little bit too much respect. And because of that respect, obviously there's an element of fear in there. So they don't really express themselves in maybe a more natural environment. And the fact is, like, you know, if that's how they can get the points, which they need, then that's what they'll do. Because, you know, at the end of the day, that's their comfort zone, their strength, whatever you wish to call it. And they feel that they get dividends from that. What it also does is, like I say, go back to that same thing, gives them confidence, you know, because they'll say, well, if we kept them out. So
I also think, though, when FC go to away grounds and at home, when they play at home, I also think players lift their game 10-20% because of the crowds that are involved, and they want to show the 2,000 FC fans and the gate that they can play. I think players raise the game. I've seen it before in my career when I've been at Man United. Other teams would raise their game 10-20%. The following Saturday it'll be back down to their normal, because they've got a point to prove, which I completely disagree with as a football player.
That means you as a team and as a group of players have to perform every single
that's
week.
FC United are up against this season. Players putting extra 10-20% on their.
Well, it's been the way for 10 seasons. It's not changed, and we're now used to it. Of course, yeah. You were one, 19 clubs, weren't you? So
one team,
eight good clubs,
seven really bad ones.
One team we suggested was doomed from the start was Strictly Athletic. However, last night they got a good result against Matlock on Tuesday evening. Belper Town, have we worked out for James Stanage where Belper is?
I don't know where it lives.
Listen, love, it's not anywhere. I'm never going there, love. Never going there.
Ramsbottom United.
Hello.
I mean, this might start a debate between Berkey and James Hayes. Could we expect a bit better from Ramsbottom?
I think it's coming back to what you were saying before about teams raising their game. Obviously, with Curzon and teams that have promoted up, Curzon have upped their game a little bit. Obviously, if the slide comes, it comes. Ramsbottom have started a little bit slower than normal. I mean, obviously, with Nick as well, from his time at Ratcliffe, Steve Howson, when he's on goal-scoring form, he can score game in, game out. That's the thing, main thing as well, but he's a versatile player.
He's a good centre-half as well.
Yeah.
Slightly disagree on it as well, because Ramsbottom last year, after about the first six games, was maybe second from bottom. And I had great belief in, you know, the likes of Anthony and Bernard, you know, run the team. They've got a decent knowledge of football players, and they know where the strengths and weaknesses are within that team, because they've had it for quite a while. And I can't see them staying down there that long.
Here's the stat for you about Ramsbottom. 11 goals scored, 15 conceded.
My thunder has been stolen from left and the right here, but they've scored more goals than anyone other than Ilkeston.
Yeah.
They've conceded four more goals than anybody else in the league. It doesn't take a genius to work out where the problem lies.
They've just brought a top defender in Danny Wodger, you know.
Exactly, and he left at the start of the season.
So they're going to start sorting that little problem out.
But at the same time, Billy Priestley's gone to Bradford Park, haven't you, on a 2-year deal.
They might be struggling for numbers. In the latest game, I noticed on the team sheet that Ramsbottom named Bernard and Jono on the bench. Are they struggling for numbers? As Berkey just pointed out, they've lost Billy Priestley to Bradford.
But they've got Danny Warren to back in.
Yeah, but on that game he didn't play.
The one thing they've got Ramsbottom is that they've got a philosophy of football that's a little bit different to quite a lot of the teams. You know, when the opposition have corners, they leave three people up top. It makes other managers have to think. We played against them only last week. And in all fairness, the first 45 minutes, they were waiting 2-1 down and they were the better team. FC United second half were far superior to them, in all fairness. But they'll be okay this season. You know, they are a team that have got quality. They've passed the ball very well. There is, you know, they've got a couple of guys up top that are decent. Hume, I think it is, isn't it?
John,
good player. You know, I can see him possibly moving on somewhere else, maybe to a higher level. You know, at the end of the day, they'll be okay this season because they've got quality, good management team, as you rightly say. But what they've got pace in that team, and they'd like to pass the ball. and they like to pass it through the midfield. And I like teams that pass the ball through the midfield rather than teams that get it out quick and just lump it over the top. And for me, they'll be good.
They've got pace in the right areas because, I mean, they're strong down the flanks, you know, with the young Spen and the other kid Smart.
The blessed Phil Dean as
well. So, like I say, you know, at the end of the day, they'll cope well. There's no problem with that.
And we should mention as well, Belper Town have also scored 11 goals this season, despite the fact that they're in 20th and have only conceded 12.
Yeah. Frickley have got one benefit, and it's Gavin Allott. He's scoring goals again.
If they keep him fit
and away from injury, they may be okay this season. If not, they're battling again against the grain. I mean, they've got a huge sponsorship deal and all this kind of media stuff going through.
On Tuesday night, it was Gavin Allott who scored the winner.
Yeah, exactly.
Allock.
Ben,
yes.
Can I put a shout in for Trafford? They are mid-table.
What's the 40. Rule about mid-table?
We ignore it, it doesn't happen.
Yes.
I know, but they've scored a few goals. They've conceded not that many goals, I suppose. And I just think they're itching to have a little bit of a run. They drew 3-3 last night. And I just think...
You know my observation about Trafford? No. Not that I'm a football expert, you understand. I'm just there with my pretty face.
Yeah.
But on a corner... Four players left up on the halfway line.
Four?
Yeah.
Gung-ho.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Trafford. Any other business?
Hales Owen as well. I think they have seen that.
You've got to leave Hales Owen alone. You mentioned Hales Owen far too.
Yeah, the thing is, though, the position of at the moment, I think, is a bit false as well. They're going to go a good shout, especially if Hazer stays for the rest of the season. It all depends if he's... We seem to looking at the same time.
You've got to
also look at a team that got into the playoff final last season in Ashton United, currently mid-table, well, just below mid-table in 15th spot. Again, you can see them climbing up the table. I mean, there's no major runaway leader yet. I mean, the points between the top and the mid-table isn't a deficit that can't certainly be brought back. I was talking to Hamel Hempstead's manager on Five Live on Saturday. And when he was asked...
Circles he moves in.
And when he was asked...
That's a celebrity.
And when he was...
Swampy, you've dropped some names there. Yeah. Let me pick up for you.
I used to use yours, you know. I used to use yours all the time. Yeah,
What did the manager of Hemel Hempstead say?
He turned around, he went...
Shift.
Did he mention all the
team? He just turned around and went... I don't even look at the league. He says he was asked a genuine question. He was the guest of the whole night. He wasn't just question of just been interviewed. He says, I don't even bother looking at the division at this time of the season. He said, because no one's going up, no one's going down. I said, I'm not interested. I'm just interested in performances. And he actually couldn't tell us who or what position his team were in. He didn't know. And that was genuine. He was totally genuine. It's all about his performances and the way his players work. He says he's not bothered. And I think that's a great philosophy to us. I know New Mills have that because they need to most seasons.
Now, last season we did this exact same show 4 games in. We're doing it 6 games in. But I should point out, last season it was pretty obvious, even after 4 games, who was going to get relegated. This year, that's not necessarily the case, is it?
Really? I'm not saying anything. It was the usual suspects, wasn't it? This year it's not necessarily the usual suspects. And therefore, you know, it's an open division. It's a good division this year because there's no runaway in this division.
And
I'd like to sort of say, if I was to suss something out, it would be to look at the teams that are down there, and would you fancy them from being down there at the end of the season? And Marine wouldn't be one, Ramsbottom wouldn't be one, Rushall wouldn't be one, Hales Owen wouldn't be one, and we're going up to like maybe mid-table here, Matlock. No, Ashton United, no. So we're there, I'd say, to about 16th spot in the league. That leaves us Whitby, Barwell, Frickley, and Belper for me.
And on that cheery note,
he named it 6 games in.
And on that cheery note, that is the end of part two. Coming up, perhaps a couple of interviews, but from everyone here in the Magnet, have a nice couple of minutes away from this pub.
Yes.
Right, we're now joined on the show by the world-famous Stamford fan, Stamper. What number are you up to now for number of consecutive games?
When I get to Ramsbottom on Saturday, it'll be 419.
Right, so you know more than most people about Stamford, I'd suggest. I've got you on because other than the fact you always all a beer...
Yeah, I'll put them in the post.
Thank you. It's the fact the start Stamford has made has surprised a lot of people. Has it surprised you and the rest of the support up at Stamford?
It has, yeah. We are surprised. We were looking at the start of the season, we're thinking, oh dear, it was like last season, it's a polar opposite because we got tanked 6-0 by a certain club, which I shan't mention. Was that FC United?
I think it was.
And we've done the exact opposite. We've just started off absolutely brilliant. Bar Tuesday night's result against Ilkeston. But
and have you got the same team there roughly, or have you got? Oh, has the manager made new acquisitions?
It's virtually the same team. We've made one or two more, got a few more players in, but it's virtually the same team as last season. And Robbins is on fire.
What else is happening at Stamford then? Is everyone excited about the move to the new stadium?
Yeah, everyone's excited. It's brand new stadium. Lots of space and everything. Rather than compressed ground we're in, but it's sad to see it go.
And you had a hell of a start to the season, but there was obviously the game on Tuesday night against Ilkeston. What did you firstly make of Ilkeston's performance? Because they've beat a couple of teams so far by that similar scoreline.
Yeah, Ilkeston are a good team. They were definitely the better team on the night. And if they're not up there at the top of the season, I'll be surprised.
What's your prediction for Stamford this season then? Do you reckon you're going to stay up at the top or there or thereabouts, or just see how it goes?
See how it goes, but hopefully we'll finish top half.
Well, Stampy, thanks for joining us. Remember, we do want that beer at some point as well.
Yeah, I'll get some in the post next time I get a chance to get some from the club.
Nice one, mate. We're now joined by a very special guest all the way from the West Midlands. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, Ben. Hello. My name is Adam Parks and I work for 102.5 The Bridge, which is a community radio station based in Stourbridge. And as a radio station for the last 6.5 years, we've covered Stourbridge Football Club, Halsoe in town, and more recently Tiverdale.
So you've got quite a selection of football clubs you're covering there. Have you ever been this busy?
No, we haven't. We haven't been as fortunate that we've had so many successful sides on our patch. I mean, we obviously cover sides further down the pyramid. With meteoric success for the likes of Halsoe in town getting back into the Northern Premier League, and with Tiverdale having gained two promotions in recent seasons, we've got every reason to be happy with the progress of our local sides.
And the highlights so far this season, I know we're only 6 games in, but the highlights so far for your neck of the woods has to be Stourbridge. They've made a very impressive start to the season.
Well, you say that, but I think it's a very open division this year. I think everyone was expecting FC United and Manchester to walk away with it somewhat and for Stourbridge to be there or thereabouts. But I've seen some good performances from the Glass Boys, but one or two indifferent ones as well. They were brilliant at Ilkeston in the first Monday of the season, where they won 4-3 very late on in the day. And I think Ilkeston will be there or thereabouts come the end of the season. But I saw them also away at Kings Lynn, and Kings Lynn had obviously done their homework on the team and really didn't allow them to play.
With Stourbridge, last season it was picked up on the NPL show that last season they scored for a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, and they have got players. They've got players who can score from around the pitch. They've got a very good partnership with Sean Geddes and Ben Billingham, who play very well together.
Moving on to Division 1 South, a team down there, Tiverdale, has entered the league this season. And they've made an impressive start as well. Although it is only 4 games in, it's still an impressive start nonetheless.
Tiverdale is going to be a bit of an enigma, certainly for the first part of the season, because their ground is very compact, very tight, and a lot of clubs aren't going to want to come and to play against Tiverdale, because it's you'd expect them to be in a couple of leagues lower. They're playing out of their skins at the moment. We did a commentary on their FA Cup game on Tuesday evening against Shawbury, and they won that, scoring 5 goals. They scored 3 goals in the previous game. They are scoring goals for fun, and I think the Beaches, which is their home ground, is going to become certainly a fortress for the first part of the season. Okay, eventually clubs will cotton on to them, but why not make hay while the sun shines?
And Adam, before I leave you, would you like to give a plug to your radio station one more time?
Yeah, well, we broadcast to the Southern Black Country in the West Midlands on 102.5 FM, but we're available on the internet at www.thebridgeradio.net. We provide match commentaries nearly every Saturday and Tuesday evening. And, please tune in wherever you are in the country. It's a bit of a niche product doing it for the Northern Premier League and the First Division South. We hope it's something that people enjoy. And obviously, the more, the merrier.
Adam Parks from The Bridge, thanks for joining us on the MPL show.
Thanks for your time.
Welcome back to part three of the EvoStick MPL show, recorded here on a Wednesday evening. Just checking it's still here. On a Wednesday evening.
Yeah, I'm still here, Ben.
In Stockport on the 3rd of September. And we've been asking for your correspondence on the MPL Facebook group, which you can get in touch with, sponsored by EvoStick.
Yep, facebook.com/groups/MPL, or on Twitter at the MPL group.
And what fanciful correspondence have we been seeking from the dear listener at home?
Right, put simple, there was no question to be asked tonight except for explain the start of your season for us.
It's the ultimate open question.
Yeah. Starting with Facebook, Andrew Snaith of Whitby Town Radio. We all called Whitby slow burning, still winless, but three straight defeats and now three straight draws. We're progressing. James Harris of Hales-Owen, solid if you want, spectacular. Stamper, still on cloud nine.
Where's our beer, Stamper? New ground, new beer. Come on, get it sent.
Still on cloud nine?
Yes, he is. More than that to the start of the season. Minor setback last night, but...
Minor?
David Osborne. Here we go, one for you, Swamper. Swamper said, Rusho would either be fantastic or it would go badly wrong. Early days, patience and time required, but we need to sharpen things up. Rusho fan. And then we get to Radcliffe Borough fans, which amazingly... unbelievable start. Nice to see Paul Maguire's giving the reins straight away with enthusiasm. Fantastic beginnings. Lloyd Berry, pretty much the same start as last year for Warrington. Oliver Newell from Curzon seems to have played well on the first half of games and dripped off in the second. Overall cracking start. And finally, Jack, /8 on Twitter. Stourbridge, yet to see that the league is any better than the South for Stourbridge. Solid start, yet to properly click into gear.
Have the South got their own podcast? Anyway,
I think we need to invite him on the show.
Division 1 South we'll move on to now, and at last month's preview show we did say Leek Town, Stafford Rangers and Tividale.
Hold on a second, we said
as a group Leek Town we mentioned earlier about Skelmersdale learning from last season perhaps and pacing themselves a bit better. Leek Town have pretty much done the exact same start as they did last year. If you were the manager of Leek Town, Roy, how would you keep it going?
I just basically think that it keeps itself going. I think the lads will be up for it. You know, they'll have plenty of confidence. They did it last year, a few injury problems where they didn't have the availability of a few players. That, again, you know, could raise its head. At the end of the day, you know, it's the season. You know, it starts in August time, finishes in April time, May time, whichever, if you get an extension. The fact is, you know, at the end of the day, it's a squad game. You're never ever going to win a league with a basic 16 players. You have to talk in terms of maybe 20 to 24. They might not always play, but they have to be available to play, you know, and I think Lee's done quite well there over the last three seasons, let alone, you know, last season. They just fell away a little bit, but they're still in there with the shout, even at the death. And I think he'll carry on and finish what he actually started last year. They would have been my bet for this year, as they were last year. I did fancy Colville a little bit more. This year, I'd have said it'd be Leek and Colville. But obviously, the fact that they've lost their manager, you know, after a good few years, then, you know, that might be a telling factor. So when I do look, I'd say Colville are being there just basically off their own, you know, the pedigree. But I fancy someone like maybe Newcastle to upset a couple of teams, you know, that maybe well fancy themselves, including Leake and Stafford.
But they're the ones who's played around that speedway track.
Yeah, the naughty 40s and all that old nonsense
track. Yeah.
Another thing about Leake is that they're well attended as well, aren't they, these days? They're getting over 300 easily.
They play good football,
nice
don't they?
Stadium, that.
They play good football, but it's interesting about Adam Stevens, who resigned from Colville because they would have been highly fancied by quite a number of people in the footballing world. I mean, he took them to the FA Trophy a few years ago. He didn't win that. It was another North East team that won that time. He believes he's taken it as far as he can take them. He wants to spend some time with his children. His two daughters are athletes, and he wants to watch them, and he wants to actually test himself in a higher league. And that's what he said. It wasn't a question of because they're not top of the league at this moment in time. He said, basically, I've taken them as far as I think I can take them. I need a bit of a break, relax, see my family, work, have some time with my family, and then come back into football. And I want to try and test myself at a slightly higher level. But I mean, you rightly say, Leake Caswell at Leake, he's done it for the last two or three seasons. They've been there or thereabouts. For me, I mentioned him at the very beginning of the season.
Stafford,
Neil Kitchen, he's left Rushall, and I don't care what people said about Rushall over the last three or four seasons, because I've enjoyed going there.
You can't make the same point about Rushall every month.
Well, I can't now, because obviously Richard Sneakers is there, and he's just brought in the Sutton Coldfield manager, who's a UEFA A licence coach. So Rushall, going forward in our division, will basically be, you know, a little bit of a different proposition. But I think Neil Kitchen, he had a shoestring budget at Rushall, and he's got a Stafford. He's a manager that can bring in quality players. So they're in the right place at the moment.
Being completely ignorant about 20 other teams, are we assuming that Stafford and Leake are the ones who are going to be challenging? Stu, you have a point?
We did mention Tiverdale because we didn't know anything about them, but we like the name. They're up there. They've had a great start.
And I've got Jazz Lucky playing for them.
Jazz Lucky.
Well, with a name like that, you've got to do all right, haven't you?
Yeah.
But my tip were Ghoul and
the Pies.
They've not done too bad. They've had a decent-ish start.
Is that because of the team or because of the management?
No, it was because I seen them towards the end of the season last year, and they were suffering just below mid-table, and he did come in and take them above mid-table. He got a couple of good results. But then I spoke to someone today who watched him this week in the FA Cup replay, and they got beat off Runcorn Town. And he's made me change my mind about him.
On last month's show, here's a little insight. Part three of the show is dedicated to Division 1, and it's meant to be about 10 minutes long, right? Division 1 North, last month, pre-edit, was about 46 minutes long, right? So let's try and keep to time now, gentlemen.
Salford have won.
Division 1 North. Salford have made the start that people expected.
Oh, straight in, are we?
Yeah, straight in.
Like that.
They've signed Danny Webber, well, the day after the last podcast as well. They signed Danny Webber, and I do think he was the missing piece that they needed there, just giving that extra piece of firepower. They had enough firepower, maybe enough anyway. But I think he's the one who's going to bring them over. And he scored, what is it, 4 goals in 6 games? He's doing well. Same with Sedge as well.
Doesn't matter where he goes, he'd be a missing piece in any team. Yeah. Because of the standard he's played at, his quality of finishing, and you know, at the end of the day, any team would have him in. He's just come out of pro football and he's always played for top pro, you know, teams. So he's a known quantity.
And good at jigsaws, it would appear to. So up there as well. I mean, we discussed last month, Roy. You're a manager in this division, right?
Yeah.
We discussed last.
How long we don't know. I'm going to the bar.
We discussed last month about how there's potential for about 10 teams to do well in this league. We named pretty much all of them. Is there anyone who has surprised you at the start they've made?
If I was to say anybody, it'd be Ratcliffe Borough.
It's not since the glory years of you having a certain goalkeeper have you been this high in the league, have you?
It's been about a good 5-10 years since we've been in position. Nick's obviously seen us in the past where we've finished 10th in the league.
Since Jody Banning, yeah. I mean, you're not.
Exactly, yeah, Jody Banning. We're talking 10, 15 years since this sort of position. It's really hard to explain. I mean, we've played Lancaster and Bamber Bridge as the big two would expect to be up there and got good results. I mean, obviously when we play Salford, Darlington, Spennymoor, we've got Darlington coming up at the end of the month, we are going to have a hard time against them. I think that's where we're going to start dropping points. We're not going to I played it down last month thinking we are going to be mid-table, but now I've saw a couple of the First Division North games recently. Some of the standards in the rest of the division.
Calm down.
I'm trying to.
Don't jinx it. You never know, you might do well.
I seen you just about struggle over the line against Afton Coles in the FA Cup. So.
That's just exactly going on with that.
You mentioned a certain team.
Yes.
And you surmised, could this team do well this year? And some of the results that Johnston have had this year have been absolutely ridiculous.
7-1, 6-1. It's absolute, as you say, Ben, it is ridiculous. But then you lose
14 goals at home this season.
But against, I'm sure, a very good New Mills side, who I haven't seen yet this season. You know, they're going to be consistently inconsistent, aren't they, draws? And you can see that from the
14 goals in four games.
I know, and then they won 4-0. There was four in the FA Cup on Saturday against Runcorn Lintz, who were top of the North West Counties League. They've won all six. Exactly, they've won all six games in that. I mean, I predicted to start that draws and with me dark horses alongside Northwich Vicks, who were in second place, having only conceded one goal, by the way, which doesn't surprise me. Jim Gannon's got them very well drilled. They haven't scored many goals, though, which again isn't a surprise.
Well, I pointed out Northwich last month as well, and the one thing I did say about them is it's not pretty, and they'll just go out there and they'll get a 1-0 win and they'll play. They'll be hard to beat. There'll be a team that's hard to beat. And that just goes to show, just look at where they are in the table. The second, they've won three, drawn one.
Goals.
They've scored five goals in four games. And they've conceded one. So that is exactly what they are. They're a 1-0 team. And they'll do all right by that.
I'm getting a Roy Sewell quote in my head about something about scoring goals.
The tailor-made. It's like Land of the Giants when you walk in there, like, you know, when you see some of the players. And they're tailor-made for set plays, and that's what he works on it.
And that is Roy Sewell leaving.
With Berkey to play darts with Berkey.
Thanks for listening. 16 dart, Berkey, thank you.
Yeah, 16 darts in your bonds if you're not careful from Sewell.
I'll sit down. A few of us tipped them to be up there. They've struggled so far this season. They're down at the bottom. Well, I did. So I'll just get another 3 points.
As a town, great beer.
Lovely. Yeah. Well, got some beer on here.
What's the centre half, Sean Connor, as well? I think you got player of the year last year.
Before we all leave, I'd just like to draw attention to Prescott Cables, who played four games, drawn three, lost one. They've scored one goal and have conceded three. That is an amazing
and
set
and they were playing FC United and Manchester in the FA Cup.
And we'll be covering the FA Cup in next month's show. Unless there's any other business. Good. That is the end of the...
Tony Adler's going to start singing now, isn't he? Surely. Finish off with a song, Tony.
You wanted an outro music.
Funny how it seems, always in fifth from bottom Radcliffe.
That is the end of the EvoStick NPL show for August.
That was quite a poor show, to be honest. It was rushed. We didn't take the time that we normally do. Ben's a bit overtired. He's giddy.
Wasn't enough.
Yeah.
I'm doing all right.
You're all right. We want.
I think it's a good show.
Ben, it's 10 to 9. We've not.
It's a good show.
We need to stay for at least another 2 hours.
Oh yeah.
It's been a good show, and I think with the interviews thrown in there, it'll be more.
That's why he's rushing us. He wants the interviews in.
He wants to sound. You make it sound good, won't you, Ben?
Yeah, exactly. So we'll be back at the end of
September. What you should always do
September.
Is ask everybody what they're doing this weekend. So what are you doing, where
you've said this numerous times.
Yeah, we'll do it again then.
This is not the Five Live non-league show, right?
It should be. We've got half a million listeners,
right? I don't actually care, right? So
half a million.
Thank you to Stuart James from the non-league review.
Thank you.
And the North West Counties Football League podcast, we should say. Thank you to James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, which you can get involved with at
facebook.com/groups/the NPL or on Twitter @the NPL group.
Thank you to Ian Burke from Radio Manchester.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Thank you to debutante Nicky Corkin.
No, I'm available for any appearances, celebrity appearances, or anything like that in the North West and surrounding areas.
Did someone say you were getting paid for this? Because that's not how it works.
I've had a pint, I'm alright.
Thank you to Roy Sill
Thank you very much.
And thank you to Swamper from Five Live and from FCM Radio.
You're very welcome as always, Ben. And Ben, thank you to you for ruining the show.
So we'll be back at the end of September with the September edition of the Eurostick MPL show. But from everyone here at the
Ben,
moment,
Ben, we'll be looking back.
Do
on
not
September,
interrupt
October.
Me. Never interrupt me in full flow.
Right, I'll put it in the corner then.
Thank you. Whatever.
Oh, he's gone, yes, come on.
Bye.
EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.